In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we stand on the threshold of the mystery of the Incarnation, having taken these days of our Advent season to prepare ourselves for this august mystery that we are about to celebrate, I find at times a certain degree of sympathy with those who have a difficulty practicing their faith or believing in God. Not because I have not had lived experience of God, quite the opposite is true, I have. And therefore, while I am sympathetic to them and understand them, I would never, of course, abandon the practice of my faith. But these are hard things to contemplate, not because they lack beauty, but precisely because of what it is that transpires and how unworthy we actually are. How does one respond? What does one say? How does one live before this mystery? What is one's legitimate response when one contemplates that God became man and chose to make his dwelling among us and did so in order to set us free from sin? Knowing how unworthy I am of all the things that God bestows upon me, this reality that God would choose to take on the human condition, to debase himself by taking on his creation, and to do this only and solely because he loves each of us, is a difficult thing to comprehend. What is the proper response? And the response is found beautifully in Scripture. It's, of course, according to the mercy of God that all of the hard questions that we might ask, he himself already answers for us. The response is the response of Joseph, who up until now in our gospel seemingly has been this silent figure, never really on the stage, never really central to this, and yet he precisely is. And his response may be the most perfect response. It is a response of silence and quiet. Joseph says nothing in sacred scripture, utters no words in sacred scripture. And yet we know how central he is to the unfolding of this great mystery that we celebrate. God entrusts to Joseph not only his son, letting Joseph be his foster father, he likewise entrusts Our Lady to Joseph to care for both of them. And we know that Joseph does this well. For this child whom we are about to welcome grows to be a man who offers his own life in expiation for our sins. But quiet, solitude, silence. These are the things that are needed to stand before this great mystery. And in truth, it unfolds in silence and in quiet. And as we shall see as we embark on our Christmas journey, those who witness to the truths that now have become flesh are those who are on the margins in society and culture at that time. Those who had no voice, and therefore, even had they spoken to shout this from the heights, there would be no one to listen to them. Silence before the mystery. A silence which means, of course, we shut our mouths to begin with. But more importantly, we open up then our hearts to hear and receive from God all the blessings that he wants to bestow upon us. How does one respond? What does one do? One follows after Saint Joseph. Having been given the mission, we know he takes Mary into his home. Similar language to what we hear in the Gospel of St. John, when John likewise takes Mary into his home. They both invite Mary into their hearts, into the very essence of their lives, and in so doing, welcome the mystery of our Lord at the beginning and at the end, if you will, of the unfolding of the Paschal mystery. And before this, one stands in silence, a disposition of contemplation, which should lead to a disposition of gratitude, a recognition of your unworthiness. And yet, as unworthy as you are, unworthy as I am, how profound is God's love for us that he chooses to make his dwelling with us, taking on the burden of the human condition in order to set us free. There really, brothers and sisters, is no more to be said, although more will be said as the weeks unfold during our Christmas season. But for now, this suppressed, if you will, fourth Sunday of Advent, this vigil of Christmas, Strive for that silence and quiet in your homes. So many things need to be done in preparation, but they really aren't that significant and they really aren't that necessary as much as you might think they actually are. And if they are important, if they are necessary, if they must be done, there still is time to carve out some moments of silence and quiet, to sit and to simply contemplate that as unworthy as we are, as undeserving as we are, as riddled with sin as we are, God loves us so completely, so totally, that he sent his Son to be with us, to walk with us, to journey with us, that we might begin now the everlasting life that he has gained for us upon the cross. We can say, brothers and sisters, with hearts full of great and profound joy, soon comes our Lord and King. Let us now hasten to adore him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.